just like the best place to be. I am too. I'm like, I'm happy where I am.
Yeah.
I mean, we should celebrate that. How many people can say that, right? Correct. But it's not luck.
Yeah, it isn't. Not at all.
Yeah. People are like, you're lucky. No. I'm like, this ain't luck.
This is definitely not luck.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Pass the Power with me, Paige Parker. I'm delighted that you're listening and some of you are watching, which makes me so, so happy, on Spotify as well as the new YouTube channel as we share conversations of hope with today's thought leaders and pass the power on to you. Today, I'm very excited. I've wanted to have you on for many seasons now, and we're going to talk about women's bodies with Yip-Pin Chu.
Shu. Mm-hmm. Siu. Yes.
Siu.
Close
enough. She tried to teach me.
It's like Siu.
Shu.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a team Singapore swimmer, mm-hmm. as well as a 5-time Paralympian, gold medalist champion. You were just recently named Straits Times Athlete of the Year for 2022. You're the inaugural recipient of the President's Award for Inspiring Achievement. And you continue to break records in the pool. Unless you think life is without challenges, you have a condition which causes your muscles to degenerate with age. You could walk as a child, and then around the age of 12, you move to the wheelchair, and you obviously have great dedication to be as gifted and to have so many accolades like this, even with your mobility challenges. So it's wonderful to have you, but I'd like for you to tell the listeners who you really are, not the sound bites.
So thank you. First of all, thank you so much for having me. It's really a pleasure to be here, to be able to share this plan with you. And I think besides all that you shared, I am a rather transparent person. So what you see is what you get. I am somebody who is very passionate about the communities that I care about, but also somebody who is like full of nonsense in my free time. I mean, I hang out with my friends. I'm just a normal Singaporean. So really two different sides of me which I embrace. I've learned from a very young age that because I started swimming when I was 5, I've been swimming competitively for 19 years. I won my first Paralympic gold medal in 2008 in Beijing. Then I've already had this platform to be able to share, to speak, to be able to advocate. With this kind of responsibility, it also comes with a certain, I wouldn't say pressure because I'm happy to do it, but a certain platform for me to talk about things that is also a part of me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So whether you like it or not, you're a role model.
I'm a role model. Oh my, I love
it. No, but really, because even if you don't want it, it's anointed on you. Mm-hmm. Because of your accomplishments, mm-hmm. you know, so.
I wouldn't say I don't want it. Somehow, I've always been really grateful to have really good mentors, you know, so people who have supported me in life, who have helped me along the way. Of course, at the end of the day, I need to be my own person and to share what I want to share, what I think is good for the community, be it the disability community or the sports community or women, youth, you know, so many things that I can represent. So there are many facets to me. It's you just have to take the time to figure it out.
It's true of all of us, so many facets, mm-hmm. but people often only see what they want to see.
Yeah, people think I'm a very serious person, but when they meet me, they know it's not.
So as we focus on women's bodies, I want to lead by talking about the expectations mm-hmm. that women have put on them. And I think when I was growing up, it was kind of the supermodels, mm-hmm. Cindy and Giselle and Claudia.
You're
they were the ones
your
that
age right there.
That, you know, they were the ones who you kind of wanted to look like. Mm-hmm. And now it's the Kardashians who, you know, their doctors have morphed them into creatures that none of us can look like.
The skim suit, you think you buy the Skims and then you end up looking like them.
Yeah. No, I have Skims. Uh-huh. I wear Skims.
Does it work?
Yeah.
Do you look like the Kardashians?
No, but I mean, I really like the corset. Uh-huh. Okay. It helps like hold everything. So yeah, no, I succumb to all of the societal expectations on how we're supposed to look. And we see the ads and the women are so thin, they look like they eat a pea a day.
Some of them do.
What, eat a pea a day?
Yeah, I've seen on TikTok like supermodels share their routine and it's so little, like it's half of what I eat in a meal. I'm like, how do you survive? How do you be happy with this? But
Yeah. That just happened to Gwyneth Paltrow. She shared like what she ate in a day, and everybody came out and they were just harshing her out. Like, this is not what a human should eat in a day. But I do think that from a very young age as females, as girls, we start to drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And we start to think that we need to look a certain way. And there's more talk now on body positivity. Mm-hmm. And you do see some women who are more ample walk the runway. And even though we are seeing some changes, the societal expectations are still there for us. And we're still supposed to look a certain way. So you face life in a wheelchair. So tell us how that compounds the societal expectations of what a woman's body should be, or does it?
So people expect women to look a certain way. When you're on a wheelchair, I may or may not look a certain way. So my legs are really skinny. But also along the way, I've had this, as an athlete, you cannot let a lot of things affect you. You have to have this certain mindset, ignore a lot of things. You compartmentalize them, you ignore the world, and then you focus what you do. That has really helped me along the way to not feel too conscious about my body. It wasn't always this way, but I am happy the way I am. I am proud the way I am, proud of who I am now, my body and whatever's on the inside.
So but when was it not that way?
When I was in primary school, I wasn't on a wheelchair yet. So I had to wear these things called AFOs, which are leg braces that helped me to walk. In school, I had to wear a uniform and I couldn't hide them. But once I was out of school, I never put on a dress. I never put on a skirt. I always wore jeans because I wanted to hide them. But I was basically being conscious of my body, the way I looked. That was very different from everybody else. It was only until I got confident enough, probably after I was like 16 or 17, then I realized that why do I have to keep hiding who I am, right? Why can't I wear whatever I want to and be whoever I want to?
Is that when you started to be a kind of a star athlete though?
After 16 I did, and I think this kind of recognition also helped me to realize a bit more of my self-worth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's a huge recognition and not everybody gets that. So I can understand how it's difficult for, it's easy for me to say, you know, to look past it and be yourself, but it's definitely not easy for everyone to do that. And it really takes steps and people around you telling you that it's okay and that it's perfectly fine the way you look. And if it isn't, then I've always been a strong believer of taking care of yourself, you know, not only to look good, but to also feel good.
Yeah, mentally and physically.
Mm. So, like when I tell somebody to go to the gym, it's not because I'm saying that they're fat, but I'm saying that maybe you should work on yourself so that you can also look good and feel good, and then your whole aspect of life would be better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I think about a lot now, because I have a daughter who's almost 20, a daughter who's 15, is I want to take care of me now so I can be really fit and in good shape mentally and physically for them as they grow up. And that has now, and maybe it's because I'm 54, and I think once we get kind of to the second curve of our lives, we start to look at it differently. And I want to be the best I can be so that I have longevity. And so it's not just about being vain.
Exactly.
And looking good. Mm-hmm. It's also about trying to be the best version of myself so I can give them the best mom. For as long as possible.
Yeah, exactly. So that's your motivation. But I find that so many people are not motivated to do that for themselves, you know? Like, somebody can turn up in the office and be a little bit shabby, but it's not only because, I'm not saying that you should dress up to impress people in the office, but really it is for yourself, you know? You look good, you feel good, and then in the office you perform better. So people have different motivations, but they should start to be motivated.
And so you reached a point where you were more confident in your body. And I do think that it's so easy for us, especially now that I'm older and you are incredibly accomplished, for us to say to young people to be secure and own who you are. But I remember being a teenager and being, even though I was quite popular, I was very insecure. And I think it's just inevitable. And then we have all of these things, all this noise from society, from advertising, mm-hmm. from social media, from television, from music, from everywhere, telling us what we need to look like and how we need to act and mm-hmm. how we need to behave as women. And I just find it so infuriating that, I just wish that young girls could just have the knowledge and have the confidence to say, you know what, I am great the way I am.
After 16, I lost a lot of weight because in Beijing, I was really big. I was buff. You can insert a photo of Beijing here. My face was very round. And I ate a lot that year because I had to be a bit more muscular and be strong. So even after I won, some people were really close to me who were saying that I was fat and like teasing me a lot. So at that point in time, I was around 49-50 kg. Because of that, right, I lost a lot of weight. I became 38 kg.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it took me a while to realize that this isn't working for me, you know. I stopped training for a while then. I also didn't have to be stronger, fuel myself, but again, that isn't healthy at all. So it took me a while before I started to realize that, I gotta start building it up again. I slowly became 42 kg, 43 kg, stuck there for a while. But at least there was a healthy weight. So even when I feel like I've achieved something, even with the extra self-worth, I still wasn't confident about my body at that point in time. So if I think it's something that everybody can go through.
Still, even when you're confident, you still struggle.
Exactly.
You still have mental hang-ups, you know. Mm-hmm. Mine is my thighs. We all have something that we're hung up about. But do you weigh every day? Are you like obsessed with your weight?
No, I'm not obsessed with my weight.
How often do you weigh? Only before meets?
Very rarely nowadays. Yeah. Only when I have to report something. Yeah. And I'll be like, I think I'm 45, 46, somewhere there.
Yeah. Well, I feel, because I'm so kind of compulsive, I just weigh myself once a week. Mm-hmm. Because like I'll get so upset over like the smallest little mm-hmm. bit, and it's insane. You know, I used to wear one thing to track like my sleep, mm-hmm. and I was so caught up in it. I mean, when you wake up in the morning, you know if you slept well or not. Mm-hmm. You don't need to track it. Mm-hmm. You know when you put on your pants if they're tight. Okay, I'm gonna lay off the bread. I mean, we don't have to obsess so much on what the number says on the scale. Mm-hmm. The next thing is I want to talk about a memorable incident regarding kind of our bodies. And for me, it has to be getting older and the whole aging process. Because women after a certain age, I had a guy on TikTok recently tell me that I no longer count because I have been in menopause since the Roman ages. You know, and I mean, sorry, but we do... You count at every age. Every woman goes through menopause. But I just think that, and as you get older, you can live off a pee a day. Mm-hmm. You know, when the metabolism stops and menopause happens, it is a challenge to still fit into what society thinks we should look like. And I feel like when women do gain the weight and you know, look a little different or even go gray with the gray hair, people are always like, oh my God, she's letting herself go. Mm. But like a man gets gray and like gains a little weight, and it's like, oh, he's a very distinguished looking gentleman.
Dead bod.
Yeah.
And then they make dead bod a whole thing.
So for me, that's my kind of incidences mm-hmm. that I'm dealing with now, is as I get older, kind of dealing with all the noise, all the baggage, and even you know, looking in the mirror and going, oh my God, like I don't feel like I'm 54.
So what do you do to shut all this noise up?
I take the best care of myself mm-hmm. that I can. And I'm never going to look like, you know, kind of the utopian version of how someone should look. Mm-hmm. So I guess just acceptance as much as you can, mm-hmm. but still working really hard to take good care of yourself and eating right. And if I'm terrible and eat an entire pizza, which yes, I can do that, you know, then like being really good for the next few days. And,
salad,
yeah.
pizza.
Yeah, unfortunately, I love salad. So that's like a good thing. I love mm-hmm. salad and I love my proteins, all that. But what's a memorable incident for you and your body and your shape?
I think for me, it's really... not so much a particular incident, but more of a general view of how people see me. somebody with a disability.
Yes, it's probably not the shape. It's like the wheelchair.
Right? Yeah. But again, the wheelchair is a bit more in your face. Mm-hmm. And I feel that there are a lot of people who are unable to see past the chair. Mm-hmm. When they see somebody in a chair or somebody with a disability, somebody without a leg, so they very often put up a barrier and assume that this is not somebody I want to talk to, this is not somebody. I think most of it is fear. You know, they fear the unknown, they're afraid of approaching somebody with a disability in fear of somehow people are really scared of offending me. Mm. Yeah, they fear that they might say something wrong, they fear that they do something wrong and that I get annoyed at them. But really, it isn't the case at all. You know, I like to be seen as a person, as a whole person with the chair. It's not something that hinders me. The chair is something that empowers me, enables me to do whatever I need to do. And people ask me when I was younger, was I upset to sit on the chair? But no. It gave me so much more independence that I would not have had without the chair. Mm. Yeah.
That's such an affirming kind of mindset, which to think of it as empowerment versus kind of being a detriment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So before we were rolling, we were talking about, and I hope you don't mind if I go here, we were talking about dating. Mm-hmm. And when you have a date with someone who isn't in a wheelchair, I guess they would be extra nervous because they're like worried about making sure you can get in. Mm. And I would think that would also have some memorable incidents to anything.
No, there are people who told me before that they wouldn't date somebody with a disability. Or they tell me that they're not asking me on a date because they don't know how to handle somebody in a wheelchair. So many things like that. And to me, it doesn't hurt me or doesn't upset me. I appreciate this kind of honesty. Mm-hmm. I appreciate good communication because it's something that is important. At the end of the day, talk about it. So regardless of what happens, talk about it. And it's just gotten to this point where it helps me to filter people out easily. You know, like if it's something you cannot deal with, tell mm-hmm. me earlier so that we know that nothing's gonna happen there and we can move on with our lives. Yeah.
Yeah. Yet again, you have like the best way of looking at it. It's just a filter so that you just don't have to deal with somebody who's not gonna make you a priority and figure out how to make it work.
It's just a disability. You can see it easily. It's visible. But then further into it, somebody might find issue with something else, with somebody else.
So is there anything you would say to people listening if they are kind of worried about, like, would you say, step up, don't be scared,
always have a conversation with somebody. At least be comfortable enough to have a conversation. Because if not, then if this is a topic that you're going to avoid, then it's not going to work out because you cannot talk about anything else in life as well. Mm-hmm. Right? So talk.
Wise counsel. The next thing is a daily challenge we deal with in our bodies. I already talked before about kind of the whole aging thing and everything. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I'm probably as fit as I have been since I had children. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when you're a young mom, you're like eating their leftovers and you're just like doing so much to take care of them. And now I have a 15-year-old and an almost 20-year-old. So I'm in a place where they still need me emotionally, but they don't need me to be as hands-on as I used to be. So I'm able to take better care of myself physically. And I guess it would be more mental struggles that I have at this point, dealing with that mindset of how I deal with aging and what happens to the body as we age. So that's kind of where I am. What about you? Your daily challenge with your body?
My daily challenge with my body would be, see, I'm at this place right now where I'm really happy with my body.
Yeah. Just like the best place to be. I am too. I'm happy where I am.
Yeah.
I mean, we should celebrate that. How many people can say that, right?
Correct. But
but it's not luck.
Yeah, it isn't. Not at all.
Yeah. People are like, you're lucky. No. I'm like, this ain't luck.
This is definitely not luck. But yeah. Okay, if I had to pick something, I think it would be actually not so much on the physical part, but more of the strength part. Like, I want to be strong. I want to be able to maintain my strength. And while I do that, I look good. That's a bonus, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what about as you age? I mean, is it something that you worry about? Because, I mean, you're getting on the kind of the older side, right?
Yes.
To be a competitive swimmer?
Correct. a lot of people ask me questions like, is it, am I not improving? I may have a certain period where I'm not improving, then they would start to assume, is it age? Is it your disability? But I try to not let myself think that it is those things. You know, I don't want to attribute it. I don't want to give any reason for it unless I have already tried everything I can in my ability. I've tried sleeping well, eating well, recovering well. Well, at an older age, recovery is slower. I think I will not say that it is my age or my disability. Yeah.
So. But recently, didn't you set a new record?
I did.
I mean, come on.
So it's not age yet.
Yeah, it's not age yet.
Give me a couple more years.
Yeah. But I mean, it has to be in the back of your mind. What about injuries? Is that because I know, because I played tennis for a very long time and I have a bad shoulder, which it doesn't go away. It's still there. So even like with boxing, I feel it. Is that something that you have to deal with, or you've been able to kind of recuperate from all of your injuries?
I need to introduce you to some of the best physios, but I think I've been fortunate enough to meet these people who I go to before an injury for prehab, and then I know a lot of people face pain from sitting at their computers and things like that, but you have to deal with pain quickly. Whenever you have pain, just get it fixed and it will be okay. Mm.
And I wonder if we could be specific and talk about the physical challenges that you face and kind of a lesson that's come from that. I mean, because with you being in a wheelchair, the challenges that you face are very different than the lessons that I have about, you know, kind of the women's body.
Yeah. So if we were to just talk about challenges that people on a wheelchair face, it could range anywhere from like a really small thing, a step. Sometimes I ask my friends, oh, is this cafe wheelchair accessible? And then they think, they're not sure, you know, but it's something that if I go, I immediately notice it because it is something that hinders me, right? There are also so many people on motorized wheelchairs and it's a little bit harder because the chairs are heavier and such. So if I see such an obstacle, I can get help, someone can carry me. But if it may be harder for certain people. And it's not just steps, like maybe whole estates, like shop houses are really tough because with the ups and downs, it's difficult to be confident when things are not accessible for you, when things are not easy for you, when you always have to ask somebody for help. Some people are really nice, some people are nasty. Could be as simple as taking a taxi. Some taxi drivers don't want to help somebody in a wheelchair. Some are really happy to. And I think that's really detrimental in society. Because of this perception, so many people with disabilities don't really want to leave home. We need to raise more awareness that persons with disabilities does not mean that they have an inability to do anything. You know, they still have the same level of education. They should get the same kind of employment, because if you, like our previous conversation, if you look at their resume, then it doesn't really make sense to not hire somebody with a better resume just because they're on a wheelchair. So we need to raise awareness to, there are many issues in the community, but we need, first of all, I think it's important to raise awareness for people to realize that there is a person behind the disability and for people to just treat them as normal people, but help them with it. Yeah.
Well, I hope you report the taxi uncle when he won't help you.
I always want to like give them one star, but I forget after a while.
I would definitely report. And just so you know, when we were thinking about you coming in, we were like, is the carpet going to be an issue? And is the cable going to be an issue? We wanted to make sure that for you to come in. And it's obviously something that we've never had to think about before. And we were talking about Shakespeare in the Park and you going to that. And I was saying, like, I don't know if they have the loo for you. And you said, I think they will. Because
I actually said, I'll pee in the fountain if they don't.
But you said, because you don't have this issue, you wouldn't notice if they had a place for me. And it's so true.
Mm,
right?
Exactly.
Mm. No, but I think that it's... you saying, because it, you don't have it, so therefore you don't see it and you don't notice. And we need to think about in everything what we do to make it accessible for other people who do have a challenge. But I wanted to ask you, because now, is it appropriate to say it is a disability? I thought, I mean, like, especially now in America, I don't think you can call it that. I don't know what the PC thing is to say.
I think it's really difficult nowadays. There are certain groups of people that like to go with certain terms, and then there are certain groups of people that don't agree with that same term. So, like, disability is not exactly a empowering word, but sometimes I myself don't know what to say. In
right. Well, I said like physical challenge, trying to be PC, and you were like, okay, "What's she talking about?" you know what I mean?
Like, I think they're trying to shift the narrative. You know, instead of saying that like I'm suffering from a disability, it's more like I have a disability. So, main terms are okay, but maybe not the negative terms where it implies that my life is terrible because of my disability.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I think you just have the best mindset. You see everything. You are so glass half full.
I am glass half three quarter full.
Yeah, I love that. You're very, very inspiring. Now we go to the hot take.
Mm-hmm.
And my hot take before was going to be, this ain't luck, which I already said. So I think my other hot take would be, I challenge everybody listening and watching to call out ageism, sexism, ableism, all of these things that, you know, we just kind of take for granted in life and we don't stop and make noise. We need to, and we need to call it out. So that would be my hot take today.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. Now I have to think.
I think most of us, sometimes, I remember in the old days, you know, a man would say something and I would let it slide.
Mm.
A man says something now that's sexist. I'll be like, dude, you can't say that.
Yes.
You know, hello. Hashtag me too.
Yep.
Stop it.
Yeah. I think my hot take would be similar to the conversation we had. It's to be a go-getter. Go get what you want, you know. Just because you are a woman, just because you are different, does not mean that you do not deserve that. Does not mean that you cannot have that. So, and opportunities don't often fall into your lap. So you have to go out there and get whatever you want. And sometimes we can blame the community, but sometimes it's also on our part to do what it is, what needs to be done to get to where we want to go.
That's my takeaway from today. Opportunities do not fall in our lap. We have to chase our desires. Yeah. And I feel like some people sometimes get very comfortable and they don't make a change even though they know they should. And I'm always encouraging people to say yes to the next opportunity. And if you get on a path that is wrong, you learn from that and then you regroup and then you veer back on course and always just try to seize every single opportunity that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And make the opportunities happen. I like it. Were you going to add something?
I was going to say, like, I've had also instances whereby people are given opportunities. So I was a nominated member of parliament. And then after that, my friend was nominated. She asked me what the commitments were and whether she was basically just really unsure that it was something that she could do. But I think in any case, when somebody hands you something, when somebody says that this is an opportunity, would you like to take it? It kind of means that they've already seen something in you. So why can't you see that in yourself as well?
Wow.
Right.
That's incredible. Mm. So are you a nominated member?
I was from 2018 to 2022.
Oh,
2020.
Wow. Oh, I should have had that in the intro. That's amazing. Okay. She's got so many gifts. And how was that?
A really steep learning curve for me, because at that point in time I was pretty young. I didn't know much about politics, but also I realized that I didn't need to know a lot about politics. It was mainly just having to speak to people on the ground, find out their needs in the community, and then bring it at a higher level and try to convince people that this is what we need. Yeah, it was a really nice experience.
Good. So at the very end, you're going to ask me a question. And my question for you is, it's kind of predictable, but I really want to know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, after 5 gold medals, what next? And then after swimming, what next?
So in terms of swimming, I am aiming to go to Paris in 2024, which is just next year.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully do really well in it. And Los Angeles, I'm not sure. But out of swimming, it's difficult to leave the sport when my entire life has been built around it. You know, my identity is mainly as a swimmer. But over the past few years, I've had this really amazing coach tell me that I need to plan for a life after sports, because if not, I will not be able to leave what I'm doing now, even if I'm unhappy doing it. So throughout the years, I've started a swim school. I've been working really closely with the Purple Parade, trying to raise awareness of disability in Singapore to support inclusion and celebrate abilities from people.
When is it held?
It's held on the 4th of November this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will put it on my calendar. It will be my first purple parade.
It would be amazing to have you there.
And your very difficult question for me?
I guess my question for you would be, since you are pretty close to your daughters, and your daughters are at this age whereby they can be heavily influenced by social media, if they are, what would you do? What would you tell them?
It's interesting because I started on social media because my daughters were young and they were getting on it, and I wanted to be there kind of before or with them so that I could understand the space and see what they were doing. I think, in my opinion, too many parents don't really know what's going on social media, and they have no clue the content that their children are looking at, and they just act like, you know, oh, I it's not for me, but you should educate yourself. And so I educated myself, and then I started posting content. Long story short, my daughters are now barely even on social media. They don't do any TikToks anymore. They laugh at my content. My daughter B, who's 15, at 15, you know, you really, like, your mom cannot embarrass you, right? So every once in a while, if I put something on TikTok and I'm worried that it's going to upset her, I actually ask for approval first, because, you know, the last thing I want to do is to upset B. But I'm fortunate that I feel they may have a lot of forces that are shaping them, but I don't think social media is something that is, you know, going to bring them down. They send me TikToks all the time, and the TikToks are like, I don't know, about fashion or about a great recipe. So I feel like they're just kind of getting enriched by social media. So I'm fortunate that way.
Yeah, it is true. I do learn a lot from TikTok. Like, I go on Clean Talk to learn how to clean the house and things like that. Yeah.
I didn't even know there's a clean
talk. Everything.
Yeah. No, I know. For me, it's like AI, because I'm super into AI and cooking. And fashion, and then like I was watching the whole royal family thing, and so like now I'm like royal TikTok. But the silos, I mean, all you have to do is watch something for 15 seconds and all of a sudden you start getting fed that stuff. It's scary.
But I think you're an amazing mom for doing all of that, and it's just so heartwarming to hear all of this.
Well, I'm enriched by them, but I'm blessed. Two solid girls. So when we're talking about a tangible thing that we can do as women, you with your disability, I'm allowed to say it, and me as a woman who is aging. I guess because on TikTok, I have gotten a couple of comments which are really rude and mean about my age, and like I'm too old to be there, and like, again, the one who said I've been in menopause since the Roman Empire. I commented back and I gave them a diatribe on how they were, you know, wrong and mean, and they shouldn't be spouting vitriol, and they'd never say it to my face, and every woman goes through menopause. I mean, I was really angry. I should have slept on it. And I guess the what I would counsel anyone is, probably most of you out there my age are not doing TikToks, but if you are, and it doesn't have to be TikTok, it can be anybody who kind of insults you about it, is maybe sleep on it and think about how you want to respond before you come back at them. And I guess for me, I wish I hadn't responded, because I think by making that TikTok, I probably gave that person some joy, like, oh, I got to her.
It's a response.
I got to her. And my daughters are always like, Mama, why did you respond? Because like, there was another time somebody was really mean to me, and so I responded. They're like, why'd you respond? I was like, because they hurt my feelings and I want to tell them.
These people thrive on a reaction.
I know.
I speak from two different ends. One of it, for the disability community itself, is to really go out in the community. You know, tangible thing, find a community that you feel comfortable in, and I think a support system is very important. So for you to find your people, your tribe, that's a good way to start living, start enriching your life even more. Doesn't have to be people who are disabled, could be anybody.
Well, I appreciate so much you being here and sharing honestly. It was I think that So many of your answers are inspiring to people from every walk of life. And I think you have a lot to teach people who are considered abled, you know? So I'm very, very grateful.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
So this wraps another episode of Pass the Power with me, Paige Parker. I'm really excited that you're continuing to listen and learn as we are on this incredible road together. You let me know through messages who you'd like for me to have on and also how we can do this better as we continue to pass the power one episode at a time.